semester goes on. Some of these are pretty obvious, an extra field trip or two. We have an example collection that's available to them throughout the semester, always one that was done by a student a couple of years back. This particular one was done by a music major, incidentally. And this is something I started about probably 20 years ago. We actually had them bring the collection, such as it is, in early October to us, myself and the two grad students who are helping, so that we go through it and give them a written sheet. Simply, one column says this is what you need, this column says this is what you have. Because in early October, we are nowhere close to having gone through all the families and things. They don't know them yet, and they want to know where they stand. And there's also this subtle thing of also, hey, we've got to show this to the teacher. We got to get our stuff out of the freezer and get it pinned and get it organized, and I think that helps. A number of years back, we set up Berlasi funnels in the classroom for classes, not just my class, but others use these. And we typically, in October, after they've had the inventory and panic has set in, and we have their attention, we show them how to Berlasi leaf litter and so on. And we have a few sweep nets, a few aquatic nets that are available for short-term loan over the weekend. Demand goes up right after the inventory to check those out. And all through the semester, we offer not to identify their insects for them, but if they have something they think it's so-and-so, we will say, yes, that's right, or if it's not, try it again. And if it's a really tough one, we'll give them some guidance of kind of where to go. So in the end, I think our collections have improved quite a bit. We graded these just before coming to the meeting, and this is fairly typical. 41 students in this particular class, and 30 of the 41 earned an A or a B on the collection. And I won't go into how we grade them, but trust me, it is theoretically possible to earn a negative grade on this assignment. And 33 years, I have had two students do that, actually do that. I rounded up to a zero. That's true. It's not easy, but it's possible to earn a negative score. The last thing is a written assignment that one of the written assignments that I use in the graduate class in biological control. And I do a number of these, but this particular one, seems like I went one too far. I do three such assignments, typically two written and one oral presentation. One of the things that all of these assignments share in common is that they are all brief with regard to the final product. I try to get the students to have a 2 or 3 page paper or a 10 to 12 minute presentation. That's one part of it. A second thing that I do with all of these graduate assignments, although we're all working for a particular general topic, every student has a specific target that he or she is working on. In other words, every paper or every presentation is different from what some other student is doing. And the reason I do that, right or wrong, is because on the one hand, since they're working toward a common goal, let's just say all the students are researching in the day of internet current, up-to-date, ongoing projects out there right now in biological control. They're all doing the same thing, but every one of them has to come up with a different current ongoing project. In the case of the one example I'm going to talk about, has to do with the simple idea, what parasitoid species attack host X, whatever species that might be. They can share how they find this information, et cetera, but in the end, they're going to have to produce their own paper about their assignment. What this does is it makes a situation where I have to do a lot of extra work on the front end to make sure I'm setting this up properly, but it has a reward on the back end that I'm not reading the same paper over and over and over, which it actually does have a payoff from the teacher's standpoint. The one that I'm going to talk about today is the one assignment of these. They vary from time to time. I taught this course. I teach it every other spring. I taught it in spring of 2006, and I will teach it next semester. But this particular assignment is the only one that I've used consistently. And it's very simple in that they're asked to take some particular host species and determine all the known parasitoids that attack it. And some of the things that I'm trying to do here is to get the idea of just how many parasitoid species often attack a particular host. Also, how variable the stages are, eggs, larvae, pupae, whatever, that get attacked. And also helping them to find out how they go about getting this type of information and maybe begin to develop some familiarity for those that didn't already have it with where the major parasitoids are taxonomically. And finally, down there, as in many fields, you run into lots of issues with systematics and synonymies and so forth, and they will without question run into this. So in the course of this, I'm showing you part of the handout that we used last time, and if I'm in error here, it's from over detail in spelling out what I want the students to do. And I'll just draw attention to the part that I highlighted here. I tell them exactly what I want this paper to contain in terms of text. I want them to give some background about the host and then tell me some summary about what they have found about the parasitoids. There's a table that we'll come to in a second that summarizes also what they have found. Now, when I select the host that they're going to use, that's where I'll be spending some of my Christmas holidays doing this again. I've never yet repeated a host, so that takes that out. I've got a very long list of already used, and I go into Krumbine's books and other places, and I'm trying to find a host that has somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 20 parasitoid species known to attack it. I don't want the students doing busy work on some of those hosts that are known to have 50, 60 different species attacking them. I don't want that. On the other hand, I find some very interesting hosts sometimes that only have known 4 or 5 species, so sometimes I'll put together pairs and say, okay, if you want, you can do these two, or you can do one. And in the end, I'm trying to get them to have something that'll have 10 to 20 species. Again, lots and lots of ways you could do this, and I spell out a lot of details about it. One of the reasons I do that is when this is completed, and before I mark them up and give them back, I make photocopies of each student's paper, collate them, put them on reserve so the students, if they wish, can see what each other has done. And at least this gets the format similar for other students to look at. And when students start complaining about how much specificity I'm asking, exactly how I want this laid out, I remind them when they get their degree and they go to work in extension or research or teaching or for government or whatever, they're going to be asked to write reports, they're going to be writing proposals, and yeah, you're going to have it spelled out pretty fine detail how it's going to be needed, and might as well get started on it now. I then give them also on that handout an example, albeit hypothetical, of how I want it organized. And with regard to taxonomically, I use Dr. Triplehorn's and Johnson's book. This would be following the 6th edition, I believe, and it will have to be turned around to follow the 7th edition for these two orders. But in any event, and I use some purely hypothetical examples. Patton was a governor in Kentucky that got caught in, he got caught. And so anyway, and finally some instructions about the tables, about how these are set up, and the cautionary note that I mentioned earlier about the systematics, kind of another lesson, hopefully, that they will learn in the process of doing this. Now, I want to basically tell you what we just talked about, and again, the idea here, when Martha asked me to do this, and she gave me full free rein to pick whatever I wanted to, and if these have nothing to do with the generative learning model, that's my fault and not hers, but, and also, if there is any connection, it was an accident. Lastly, I make no claims to always succeeding with students. I have failures. I do. And it's frustrating at times. One of the lessons I've learned is you just can't beat yourself up over the ones that you cannot reach. You get students that come in that are a joy to teach. They arrive with some innate ability, they're eager to learn, and all you have to do is not mess up. And that's the fun part. And then you get those that are challenging. And some of those you can reach. And that's a real reward. But again, occasionally you get those that you just can't reach. And enough said. Incidentally, that's my dog, and that's one of my wife's cats.
about this thing. It just went blank. Is that a bad sign? All right. Dr. Juergen's little disclaimer there. May not have any background in educational theory, but almost everything he did was right down the line, exactly what you would want a teacher to do when they're teaching. You can see why I recruited him, I hope, as I took his biological control course, and I don't know which was more exciting, learning the biological control material he was teaching, or seeing how everything he did fit what I had just learned in my PhD program at the University of Iowa. It's like, wow, it really does work. This is what they're talking about. So if you look at your handout, this is the general handout, the worksheet we're done with forever now, unless you want to keep it. The thing about using carefully worded headings and subheadings in his written material, that assignment that he showed, the biological control assignment, that's exactly what he was doing. There was no question, in my mind at least, exactly what target he wanted us to hit. Now, he pointed out at the very end there that some students just don't seem to want to learn. That's true. One of the things that is at the bottom of this is there's a note. It says, at each step of the model, the learner takes increasingly active role in the process and also takes increasing responsibility for his or her own learning. In other words, you can get them through the first steps of the generative learning model. You can get him through the first part of constructivism. But if they don't take responsibility, they really won't get up to the rest of those steps, and they will not subsume it into long-term memory, and they'll barely remember anything you tried to teach them. And that isn't your fault. It really isn't. There's just nothing you can do about that. You can try as best you can and do all these strategies to try to help them actively engage. But if they won't take responsibility, they're grown-ups. You have to let them behave that way. That's the advantage of teaching college, is they are all grown-ups. Now...